I was away last week, but I'd like to start with a line from last week found in Paul's letter to the Galatians as we come to the end of our nation's Independence Day weekend before I move on. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. So much in our culture portrays freedom as freedom from. Don't restrain me. Don't tell me what to do. Don't regulate me. Now I will grant you the sweetness of freedom from. I've known the tangles of outdated regulations, and I'm not starting a conversation here about good or bad government, which wouldn't belong in the pulpit in any case, since it would be a one-way conversation. But I want you to notice that the heart of our faith, you are called to freedom, that it is not freedom from, but freedom for. Freedom for service to others. As Christians, we take on a yoke for others. Jesus appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go, kind of like an advance guard, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." Let us pray. Gracious God, put your words in our mouths, your peace in us to offer to another, that you and your kingdom might be known also through us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The older woman found herself in a pretty dark spot. Her beloved sister had died, the one she talked with every day. After the funeral, when everyone went on their way, she felt so lonesome. One day, months into her darkness, she was sitting in her living room on the sofa, and suddenly the room got bright. A warm light came in through the window. She felt it like a caress. It was, she told me, the most wonderful thing. She felt suddenly the presence of God with her. Her sister was still gone, but somehow that experience changed everything for her. Though her loneliness nearly pushed her to despair, for all her life, Margaret had been steeped in Christian faith. So many around us no longer have that privilege. I can hear their voices, small voices, trying to speak. Is anyone there? Am I all alone? Is this all there is? Does nobody know the troubles I see? There's a two-sided conversation I hear in the culture around us, in the world outside, a back and forth between meaning and nothingness. And into the middle of that conversation, I hear these words from the gospel, sending out the 70. Jesus appointed 70 others beyond the 12 disciples. He appointed 70 to go ahead of him to the places where he himself would soon be going. 12 were just not enough. And we know it now, 70 aren't enough either. Not for all the suffering and despair out in the world. Jesus called the disciples, then appointed 70 others, and Jesus' calling multiplies out through us to all who hear these words. Listen carefully to go to the places where Jesus himself is also going, to prepare the way for him. We don't take the place of Jesus. We couldn't. But sometimes we go ahead of him to make ready for his coming, to help someone be ready to hear. God is the bridge between despair and peace, between despair and liberation. But how shall they know there is a way, those who dare to ask it only in the empty places of their hearts? How shall they know? This text shows us they shall know because Jesus sends people out to speak to them, people like us. When I have a chance, I like to unwind by gardening. One day I was pondering in my garden, and you can tell this is really an unwinding kind of day. If I were starting all over again, buying tools for my garden, which ones would I consider absolutely essential? How few could I get away with? I could get it down to four. A good shovel, a claw to dig with, hand pruners, and a leaf rake. I love gardening. And I love those lazy days in the garden when the mind meanders on such idle thoughts. When Jesus sends the 70 out, they take so little with them. No purse, no bag, no sandals, no small talk on the way. Our story is filled with instructions about how they're to go out, what they should do when they get there, how they should eat. Notice, no strictures about what they could and couldn't eat, when they should leave. But when we look carefully in the text, there's only one tool they take with them, and that's peace, the peace of God. Peace to this house. Peace be with you. We talked about this once not so long ago. In the Greek, literally, this is peace to you. It's not may you find peace, not I wish you peace. Jesus is not sending them on a scavenger hunt to look for peace. There were no bookstores then with self-help sections full of books on how we might find peace for ourselves. No, it's just this. Here's peace, the peace of God. We announce it to you. Here, receive it. It's for you. They'll receive it or not. It doesn't matter. Offer. State it. Give it. It's hard just having one tool for any job, but how powerful it would be if that word could be the first word we brought into any situation in which we walked. Peace to you. God's peace to you. The words choke in my throat as I imagine having to say these words to somebody who has hurt me. I feel shy. I hold myself back. I can't imagine saying these words to somebody who doesn't like me and who has made that clear. I find it hard to imagine speaking these words when I think I will not be taken seriously. If I'm angry, I often do not feel the slightest bit peaceful. How could I offer what I don't have? I can think of dozens of reasons why this is not the first word I speak in certain situations. Peace to you. What would happen if we took the power that Jesus is giving us, took the key that Jesus is offering, used the first tool in Jesus' toolbox? Peace to you. Let there be no animosity between us, no matter what we have to discuss. Peace to you. I can't bring it myself, for you've hurt me. But God brings it to you even through me. Peace to you. I will speak it even if you do not take me seriously, for this is what God has given me to bring to you. Peace to you. even if I'm angry with you, for where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, he is there in the midst of us. Not apprehensive or defensiveness, not assumptions or fear or negativity, but this: peace to you. The tool is not ours, you see, even when it comes through us. It's the gift of God that breaks down walls, chases fear and anxiety away, and lets us know that God is near. Peace to this house. The word is the same whether it is accepted or rejected. The kingdom of God has come near. It can feel like so little, but it's enough. Enough to become a bridge between despair and hope, enough to hold someone until she can feel the presence of Jesus or God for herself, enough to crack open a door for someone, enough to invite someone to look for the one who is coming, who is calling us, no matter what the circumstances of our lives, to know that God is with us. The kingdom of God does come near, and for this we give God thanks and praise.